When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
These days, work is in trouble. We've outsourced most of our manufacturing to other countries, sending away good jobs and our capability to make things. American Giant is pushing back against that tide. They make the high-quality clothing staples you need for a comfortable, stylish, and active summer wardrobe, like vintage-style tees, breathable polos, lightweight sweatshirts, and so much more, right here in the USA. So when you buy American Giant, you create jobs in towns and cities across the country. And jobs bring pride, purpose. They stitch people together. Support America's workers and get 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with promo code STAPLE20. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, code STAPLE20.
Hello everyone and welcome back to episode 5 of True Crime Tuesday. And in this season we are looking at what has been dubbed the Marconi Murders, or a series of deaths which are allegedly suicides or misadventure, basically anything other than murder. I do feel the need to re-emphasize on episode 5 that we in this podcast are looking at the theory, or the conspiracy theories behind these deaths. We are not in any way, shape or form saying these people did not take their own life, and we are certainly not making any sort of fun or making light of any of these absolute horrific deaths. What we are doing is questioning the official narrative, looking at the actual conditions these bodies were left in, looking at statistics which back up things like work-related stress suicides, and how, as we covered last week, statistically, when you look at these deaths and then you compare them against the official narrative or what we're being told to believe took place, well, quite simply, the sums don't add up. Quite literally, if we look at the last episode, we learnt it's more statistically possible that you listening right now will be struck by lightning in the next 12 months than it is of the official narrative of the deaths discussed last week being real. Again, can we rule out actual suicide? No, of course we can't. But you will find out, as we're only on episode 5, the more we go into this 10-episode season, and the more we discover about how these people allegedly took their own lives, well, I think you'll draw your own conclusions. Next week, we're going to take a recap look during that episode at what we've covered so far. We're going to go all the way back to episode 1 and work our way through that timeline, and we're going to look at it in the context of the wider geopolitical system and see what was taking place during that period in relation to the Cold War, the UK, the US, and the Soviet Union. We'll look at those who were in charge. We'll look at what their thoughts were towards nuclear weapons, indeed nuclear war. We'll see exactly whose heads were turned and by what. And we'll see if the Soviet Union believed in this SDI, this Star Wars program, this Strategic Defense Initiative. Did the Soviets actually believe it could have rendered their nuclear arsenal redundant? And is that why anybody involved in creating this Star Wars program was taken out of the picture by some KGB operatives in order to maintain Russia's nuclear defense system? Or will there be a stronger argument for internal sabotage? For a government within the government? for people who disagree with decisions made by certain countries. Because as an interesting side note, which we'll look into as the podcast progresses, it wasn't only the UK that seemed to have these accidental deaths, for want of a much better phrase. In fact, in the same year that Vimal Dajibai and Ashad Sharif were both found dead, a German SDI contractor and a director at Siemens, Karl-Heinz Beckertz, was killed by a car bomb in Munich. A few months later, Harald von Braunmull, a senior advisor in the negotiations for the Star Wars initiative, was also assassinated. He was shot dead in front of his home by two masked gunmen. Now, that murder was attributed to a far-left guerrilla group in Germany known as the RAF. No, not the Royal Air Force, the Red Army faction, who were a known terrorist cell within Germany at the time and had carried out previous car bombings, etc. But think of this, if you lead a guerrilla faction, a terrorist cell, always looking to raise your profile as an entity that needs to be taken seriously, well, if, and this is a big if, I grant you, but if an underworld figure comes to you and says, we will do all the dirty work and we'll give you the prestige of this assassination, you would bite the hand off. And in this imaginary scenario, he says in inverted commas, there is a perfect murder. The murder's been carried out, and not only do you not have to go through the rigmarole of a coroner's report, you actually have a body of people claiming responsibility for the act you did for your own intentions. And it wasn't just Germany either. Around the same time, there were assassinations in Sweden and in Italy also, all with links to this SDI contract, this Star Wars initiative. Okay, so let me go out on a limb with a theory which could be seen as ridiculous. However, there is some tangible evidence in regards to why this theory is being posited. So, of course, America, the US, they have a robust military able to defend both them and overseas territories. But of course, that wasn't enough. And in 1947, following World War II, they felt the need to create the CIA. It was created as part of the National Security Act of 1947, which aimed to reorganize the US's government and military and intelligence agencies after World War II. The primary reason for its establishment was to coordinate and streamline intelligence gathering and analysis. It would ensure that the US had a robust mechanism for both security and foreign intelligence gathering during the early years of the Cold War. Britain has a military that is world-renowned. There was the British Empire. Arguably, some people still believe it exists. I heard Jimmy Carr on a podcast recently say the British Empire became a bank, and it still exists. The Roman Empire became the Vatican. So maybe that's the case. But either way, the British military had a way of defending its sovereignty, its country, and again, like the US, looking after certain areas abroad. But before World War I, in fact in the lead up to World War I, Britain recognised the espionage threat that seemed to be coming from Germany, and they created MI5. Its primary purpose was to counteract the espionage threat and other intelligence threats against the UK. But the establishment of MI5 was a significant step in organising Britain's domestic counterintelligence efforts. What point am I trying to make here? Well, the point I'm trying to make here is in... What point am I trying to make here, you may well ask, and quite rightly. But after World War II, in 1949, on April the 4th, NATO was formed, the North Atlantic Treaty Organization. It was formed in the aftermath of World War II, during the early stages of the Cold War. And its primary purpose of NATO was to provide collective security against any threat the Soviet Union may offer, and to show those USSR folk that us, the UK, and our Western allies could present a united front against them should the need arise. The establishment of NATO was also intended to promote political and military cooperation amongst the member countries, and it did foster stability and peace in the North Atlantic region. NATO's featured heavily in the recent news cycle due to the conflict between the Ukraine and Russia. And the simple reason for that is many EU countries are backing Ukraine joining NATO. But everyone who knows anything about military history, that has always been and always will be the line in the sand for Russia. If Ukraine join NATO, I'm afraid we're all going to war. And believe me, if you think that's hyperbole or me for some reason trying to scaremonger, I just ask you to take a check on the EU, including England, although we're not in the EU anymore, the number of political parties who have on their agenda the reintroduction of military service as one of the key parts of their manifesto to get into office. And I don't mean your right or left-wing parties. This was part of the manifesto of Rishi Sunak, the sitting PM in the UK. That was part of his manifesto to remain in power during the recent election, which he lost. But delving into potential World War III scenarios is something that this point wasn't meant to do, so I apologise. My point being, the US had a military that could protect itself and its interests overseas. The UK had a military that could protect itself and its interests overseas. And both of these military superpowers decided they needed a secret service. Literally, as we covered last week, ones which could be given free rein to commit the act of murder, sexual abuse, torture, and walk away scot-free. Because these individuals are, like they say in films and books, ghosts. They don't exist. They can do what they please at her or his majesty's pleasure. Or in the case of the CIA, they can do what they want, as long as it's not on American soil. So I'll finally get to my point. Then we have NATO, or if you will, the military force that is against the Soviets, or should I say, that is allegedly protecting us from any potential Soviet threat. Now, what to say, like the other two huge superpowers we've just mentioned, they, NATO, have not collectively got their own secret service. The best of the best from the secret services across the NATO membership. And we've talked before about the famous quote, "War is a racket." War is indeed a racket. It creates billions of dollars in expenditure each and every time there is a war. And there's always deep competition to gain those lucrative contracts. And yes, they often do go to family members or relatives of those in power of certain countries. But the less said about that, the better. Now, let's stretch this theory out a bit more and say that this collective group of special agents who work under NATO have all been told there is money in this standoff with the Soviet Union. There is money in a potential future Cold War. And Ronald Reagan's idea of this SDI project could see all of those NATO members lose billions of dollars worth of armed contracts. So given that these Star Wars deaths are not only confined to these scientists within the UK, but they stretch to Germany, to Italy, etc., the ultimate point is this government within a government I keep talking about, perhaps it's NATO. Perhaps without the knowledge of Ronald Reagan, of Margaret Thatcher, NATO itself and its Secret Service, because they blatantly have one, have decided a Cold War lines everybody's pockets. That's why we exist. We exist to stop a Russian threat. If there's no Russian threat, well, we don't exist. We lose our jobs. We lose our funding. And also, if the Cold War becomes a very, very hot war, we lose out on potentially billions in dollars of arms contracts. Surely that would be enough to send this little hit team out to do what they can to stop the progress of this Star Wars initiative. And if you think all of this sounds far too science fiction, far too fictionalized and far-fetched, then have a quick Google of Operation Northwoods, have a quick Google of MK Ultra and the payments still being made on record by the US government to some victims. Have a quick Google of the Tuskegee experiments, where America basically gave syphilis to a lot of black Americans and lied about the medicine they were receiving, saying it would help when it was placebos, allowing them to then give syphilis to their wives, who would go on to give birth to children who had issues due to the fact both parents had syphilis. The one thing we know as absolute tangible proof with all of this is that we are lied to on a semi-constant basis by our own governments, the people who stand on TV and beg for your vote because they're going to change X, Y, Z. But they never do. There's actually a very interesting telegram in the Maritime Museum in Liverpool. And that telegram lets people know that the UK were aware prior to the sinking of the Lusitania before America joined the World War I effort, that there were German U-boats in the area that the passenger ship, the Lusitania, was going to be travelling through. One telegram asks if they should warn the captain of the ship to avoid the U-boats. And the reply says it would be in our interest if this ship was torpedoed. So let's not inform the captain of the Lusitania. Prior to its sinking, I believe the public in America were against joining this European conflict, and then the Germans torpedoed the Lusitania. And now the American public were in favour of joining the war effort. And that's genuine. That's real. That's manipulation of another country's people in order to gain an advantage in a war. And the cost? 1,200 innocent lives. Makes you think, doesn't it, really? In terms of the whole, what is for the greater good? Because Europe, or should I say the UK and its allies, only realistically won the war with thanks from America. So, did those 1,200 lives actually save millions of others? And that's a very philosophical question. That does deserve some pondering. What doesn't is the question, did a government allow 1,200 people to innocently die due to the act of terror from an opposing force in order to further their objective? Because the answer is quite simple, yes. And we're so blasé about that fact simply because we won the war, and I say we being the collective we, that is now an artifact in a museum. That correspondence, that evidence of knowing the fate of these poor passengers on a cruise ship. The point being here is, can you kill your own people if you think it furthers your political goals? And if we class the US and the UK and the special relationship we've allegedly had for years, then apparently yes, you can. It's not only legal, but over 100 years after the fact, we'll actually brag about it in our museums so that people from all generations can see this, what would now be known as a false flag operation, took place. And because of this, let's put it bluntly, act of evil by the English government, we then, as the winners of the spoils, so to speak, we then have the right, or the audacity in this case, to call the losers, the Germans, barbarians. My point being, on this show, where we're looking down the line of the Marconi murders, as they've been dubbed, We are questioning the narrative we've been told. And the reason we're doing that is because our governments have given us no other alternative than to question what they are telling us. My name's Kevin Eustace. This is True Crime Tuesday. And right now, we'll take a look at The Trouble with Cars, Part 2.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big money at Menards. We're your destination for concrete landscaping blocks. We have the largest in-stock selection ready to take home today. Get free estimates fast using our easy do-it-yourself landscape design program in-store or on Menards.com. Save big on landscape products at Menards, America's number one home improvement retailer for customer satisfaction, according to J.D. Power. Visit JDPower.com for details and Menards.com for deals. Save big money at Menards.
And so we come to our next victim in this dossier of utter madness. I'd like to introduce you to David Sands. David was a satellite projects manager for ESAMS. ESAMS is a sister company of Marconi. And David met a tragic and mysterious end in March of 1987. David was working on a project for the Ministry of Defence. And despite being on the brink of a promotion, he was also thinking of leaving the defence arena to spend more time at home. Sands, married and a father of two young kids, was travelling his usual route to work and done a sudden U-turn on the A33 dual carriageway, sped down a slip road, and at high speed, drove his car straight into the brick wall of an abandoned cafe. Oh, and his car was laden with full gasoline cans. The crash and the massive inferno resulted in his immediate death. The fire raged so intensely, he could only be identified via dental records. The project that he was working on for ESAMS via the MOD has never been divulged. But both senior ESAMS staff, the MOD, and police would only ever refer to it as a matter of utmost confidentiality. Now let's take a look at this unsettling tale. David was a renowned figure at ESAMS, and he was usually involved in significant satellite projects. Colleagues would praise him as highly competent and well respected. And this anticipated promotion, well, it all points towards a very bright future. So why the tragic end? David and his wife had been on holiday abroad in the week before he passed away. And just after arriving home, Sands told his wife he was popping out for some petrol, and he was gone 6 hours. Now, apparently, legally, if you are a top scientist working on a classified operation for the MOD, anything that could be classed as a mysterious absence needs to be informed to the police. And this was something that his wife did. They sent an officer who waited for his return. And on his return, the officer stated that Sands looked deep in thought, and that was it. But on the fateful day of March the 30th, 1987, Sands started his day, typically, left home for work without any apparent deviations, and then took an unusual turn. Veering across roads of traffic, doing a full 180, speeding down a slip road, and accelerating into that brick wall of the abandoned cafe. The impact and the explosion killed him outright. Such a violent end. And it's hard to fathom if it was a suicide, what must have been going through his mind. It's even harder to fathom if it wasn't a suicide, what must have been going through his mind. The investigation into his death only deepens the mystery. Initially, police considered the incident a tragic accident. But the gasoline cans and this deliberate crash did hint at suicide. The autopsy confirmed death by impact. No signs of a struggle or foul play. Despite these findings, and the absence of a suicide note, and Sand's professional outlook, well, there were many unanswered questions left hanging. His family, his colleagues, they were all shocked. This was a man who was on the verge of a promotion. He was quite literally at the top of his game. He had everything to live for. There was no signs of depression, no suicide note, just this sudden, inexplicable tragedy. Theories about Sand's death abound. One, obviously, suggested he committed suicide, given the apparent deliberate nature of his actions. Yet, without a clear motive, that's speculative to say the least. Some experts do propose Sands might have suffered from an undiagnosed mental health issue, leading to a sudden psychological breakdown. And that is within the realms of possibility, of course. And then there's the professional pressure angle we hear most episodes. Working on this confidential MOD project might have exposed Sands. Could there have been more going on behind the scenes? Interestingly, no skid marks were on the road, which implies there was no attempt to brake right up until impact. Sand's death stands as one of the most enigmatic and interesting cases amongst the deaths of all of our scientists. Officially, the coroner stated he was unsure if he could declare this a suicide. He said without any positive evidence or testimony to the contrary, the fact David left no note, didn't reveal any depressive thoughts, and seemed to be driving his car on the usual route to work that day, to side very much against a suicide verdict. However, he also stated the evidence before him also ruled out any foul play. Therefore, he declared an open verdict on the death, which basically translates to, I don't know. The murky circumstances definitely leave room for speculation. Was it a tragic act of despair? A result of some overwhelming professional pressure? Or something more sinister? It's interesting to think how a few of our previous dead scientists were working on what were basically the precursors to drones, or vehicles that can be controlled remotely at high accuracy. Let's just pretend for a moment that this is an assassination, and the method used was to remotely control Sand's car to plow into the cafe. If you're a foe, this sends two messages loud and clear. First, none of your scientists are safe. And second, we too have the technology you're chasing. It is the ultimate slap in the face. But where did Sands go for those 6 hours? Did he meet with someone? Was he held and threatened whilst amendments were made to his car and then released? Or was it, as he says, simply a long drive to get his thoughts in order? Well, thanks to the laws of physics and multiple cans of gasoline, we'll never truly know. One thing we do know is that maybe out of all of the victims we will look at throughout this podcast, David Sands, from a mental perspective, according to his friends, his family, his colleagues, he seems to be as mentally sound as they come. And he most definitely seems the last person, even in the entire list, to be driving to work, do a U-turn on a dual carriageway, cross a few lanes of traffic, missing collisions, and speed down a slip road head first into a wall and explode and literally perish in a ball of flames. Now, what is interesting about this particular case for David Sands is there is a change here. And by that I mean the methods of suicide get only more unbelievable from here on out. And I know you could well be thinking, and I would not blame you, how do you top somebody filling their car full of petrol and slamming into a wall? How do you top somebody tying a rope around their neck to a tree and driving off at full speed? How do you top these things? Well, it turns out you can, unbelievably. And we'll get to those in future episodes. Next week, we're going to review how we've got to where we've got to. And then, from next week, through episodes 7, 8, 9 and 10, we will continue. And believe me, if you think for one moment you've already heard on this podcast the most unbelievable suicide, oh no, you haven't. It's about to get a whole lot weirder, a whole lot darker, and a whole lot more unbelievable, both in terms of the cause of death and how the coroner believes the cause of death should be marked. But that wraps up episode 5 of True Crime Tuesday, the so-called Marconi murders. And next week we will have episode 6, which will allow us to take in everything we've discussed so far and try and fit it around the political landscape of the time. Don't forget, if you'd like to support the show, you can join our Patreon by heading over to patreon.com/crimetuesday. There, not only will you receive everything on this feed, both ad-free and before everyone else, but you can also gain access to our exclusive Patreon-only podcast, Cold Case. Cold Case, we take a look at some of the most famous unsolved murders in history, with our last two episodes looking at the rivalry and indeed assassinations of both Tupac Shakur and the notorious B.I.G. So to support this show for less than the price of a coffee per month, head over to patreon.com/crimetuesday. And until next week, take care.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Saving money on everything now at Menards. Create fresher, cleaner air with damp-rid products. Control the humidity in your space with a hanging bag moisture absorber. They're great for closets and laundry rooms. Grab a 3-pack on sale through September 8th. Save big on damp-rid moisture absorbers at Menards. America's number one home improvement retailer for customer satisfaction according to J.D. Power. Visit jdpower.com for details and menards.com for deals. Save big.